Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's an open heaven, folks. Open heaven. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have access into His throne of grace. And we give Jesus the praise, right, for everything. And all things give Him thanks. This is the will of God. You know, folks, just the power of thanksgiving, of gratitude, of giving God thanks in all things, you know. Thanksgiving is you and I declaring in advance even. Even if your life isn't going the way you want it to go, thanksgiving is you and I prophesying and saying, but we're giving thanks because we know our God has made a way. Our God is bigger than this. Our God is with us. Our God is for us. Look what the Lord has done for us thus far. How many know that if He's taken us this far, He's going to take us to the end? So in all things, give thanks to God. Amen. And it produces authentic praise. You see, you can't praise God without having a heart of gratitude first. Because praise, amen, flows out of gratitude. When God does something for you, when somebody does something good for you, and you receive a gift or something that is really awesome, and you say, thank you, you're awesome. What do? You give somebody praise also for what they did for you. Is it okay to tell somebody they're awesome?
Yeah. Amen.
Sure. How much more should we give God thanks and praise for what He's done for us? Amen. God wants His people free. He doesn't want us bound by anything. Amen. He wants a people that are going to be like children in His courts. That just celebrate Him and live a life that is free. From the opinions of men. You know, I have to get over myself daily. So do you. In order to walk with Jesus, we've got to get over ourselves. We've got to get past ourselves. We can't be looking at ourselves, amen, and be praising and worshiping Him in spirit. So we have to die to whatever people may think of us. How they may label you as being one of those. I'm one of those. Hallelujah. Because I am a soul that's set free. And sometimes, you know, we get the junk on us. We're in a world of sin. Amen. And we get the junk on us. And you got to praise it off you. Praise it off you. Just breakthrough, amen. There's sometimes you gotta stand in the battle, stand in the fight, persevere, and give God praise. Get, as Larry said, get your ugly praise on. And just go for it. Go for the throne. Go for the very heart of your Father. Seek Him. Cry out. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. You know, that calling is not a whisper, a prayer in the morning. There's a time to whisper a prayer, and God hears those prayers. But there's a time when you've got to call out audibly to pierce the ear. Psalms 100 talks about it. When we give hallows, or we give praise, it's to split the ear. It means an exuberance of expression of praise to God. And what happens is, in the demonic realm, there is a shaking and there is a replacing of those things that were once binding you. And the Spirit of God begins to come in like a flood, if you will. Not the enemy's flood, but His flood. And He chases those things out. We got to keep ourselves free. You got to keep yourself free. Jude 20 says, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. What? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You've got to keep yourself built up. You've got to build yourself. Amen. And sometimes, folks, it's a fight. It's a battle because there's stuff that we have to deal with. But what God wants to do is, according to Isaiah 40, is He wants to lift you up above it. Yes. They that wait upon the Lord, they that persevere shall what? Renew their strength. And mount up on wings as eagles. God wants you to soar with Him. How many know that God's not stressed out? He's perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect love. Amen. So we've got to get up with Him, and He inhabits the praises of His people. Hear me, somebody. The Bible is full of it. full of examples, full of this. The Psalms are all about expressing praise and thanks to God. And even through the battles and the struggles that David faced, and believe me, he had some problems, didn't he? I mean, he had worse problems than most of us here. And he had people that were after him and trying to take his life out and just betraying him left and right. And yet, David had discovered something, that there was a secret place. There was a place of refuge. There was a place to escape to. Even in the midst of his troubles, of his battles, there was a place in God where he could go and he could find rest for his soul. He could find refuge. And that's what Jesus said. He says, if you're stressed out, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. Come to me. And whosoever calling out. You know, sometimes, folks, you just shout the name of Jesus. And it's like you can hear the ice break. And all of a sudden there's just a river, a reservoir that's opened up. And you begin to flow. You just get into the Spirit and pray in the Holy Ghost, right? Hallelujah. Build yourself up. We've been talking about a little bit this. About praying in the Holy Spirit. I believe it's more than praying in tongues. It's praying according to the will of the Father. Praying in the Spirit. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. So it's praying according to the will of the Father. How many know that the Father wants you to have joy in your life? The Father wants you to have a whole marriage, a whole family. He wants you to be taken care of. He wants to provide for you. He wants to heal as well. We got to believe that about our Father. We got to believe what He has said. Receive what He has said. Don't question it. Don't over-examine it. Come before your Father like a child. Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. You want an example of worship? Watch a child worship. You ever see them in the store? Sometimes kids, they'll walk through the aisles and they'll be going, you know, this little girl may have one of those tutus or things on. You know, she's been from her ballet class and she's out dancing in the aisles. And it's like they're not hung up by what people thought, right? She's just having a good time. She's in her own little world, in a sense. Well, we got to get in the world where Jesus is. We got to get in the Spirit, amen? In that place. In the realm of His glory. And then just let it go. Let it go. We've got to fight. We've got to fight about that other, against that other part of us that wants to preserve itself. Wants to be dignified. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. A couple of you with me here, sorry. See, I don't have to worry about my reputation anymore because it's already shot. In the eyes of the world, that is. And even in some Christians. But you know what? What matters is that I'm right with God. Care what people think. So am I right with God? That's what matters. Because if you live for God, people are going to make stories up. They're going to lie about you. They're going to do all kinds of nice things to you. But we're not bowing down to that. We're not even going there. We're keeping our eyes on things above, where Christ is seated. We're living above that, on the wings of eagles. Amen. That means in the spirit realm with the Lord, where He'll take you up higher than that. And when that stuff tries to get on you, you just go higher, go above it. When the anxiety tries to get in, when the fear tries to get in, when the worries tries to get on you, go above it.
Yeah.
Praise above it. Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord with me, the psalmist said. Magnify means just like a magnifying glass. Make big your God. He is a big God, but in our minds sometimes we don't fathom that. So we need to begin to reflect on the awesomeness and the ability of God so that our minds are agreeing with what is true about God. And as we magnify God, guess what? All of a sudden your problems shrink. The things that were eating at you are like, is that what I was so stressed out about? There's a place in God where we can have peace no matter what. Even as the disciples who were beaten for Jesus, stripes, could go away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for Him. Come on, how many know they were in a higher place? They knew how to get a hold of God. They knew how to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I encourage every one of us to just let go. I know that's so cliche-ish, right? Just let go and let God. Well, in a sense, really, God can't... can't have us until we let go of us. That was pretty good. I think I'm going to write that down. God can't have us until we're willing to let go of us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for today and for everyone that's here. Continue to guide us and lead us, Lord. And shut us in with you today, Lord, each one of us. Keep us protected in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, years ago somebody asked me a question. He said, are you a good Christian? And, how many of you know that's a loaded question? And am I a good Christian? Well, of course I'm a good Christian. Let me tell you how good I am. You know, that I had to pause and say, God, how do I answer that one? And it's like, well, I just simply said, and I knew the Lord helped me with this, because he said, I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not who I'm going to be. Amen. And there's really none good except one. Amen. Christ. And Christ is the one who makes you and I good. He's the one that makes you and I good. He even makes us look good. If we abide in him, if we're clothed in him, we even look good. Amen. The glory of God should be seen on our face. All right. From the internal man, amen, in Christ, that's united with him, the glory, the presence of God on us. And people say, oh, you're glowing. There's something different about you. And yeah, you know, for some, going to church, reading the Bible, tithing, avoiding the big sins is what it means to wholeheartedly love God. Right? Wholeheartedly loving God means I'm avoiding the big sins, I'm tithing, singing in the choir maybe. I don't know why I looked at Dave when I said that, but I read my Bible, I do my little devotional, my prayer in the morning, and yes, I come to church, I attend church. And how many know all those things are important? They're necessary. But is that really what it means to wholeheartedly follow after God? Just to do certain Christian things like that? What is the first and greatest commandment of all? Love God, right? Matthew 22:35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, if indeed this is truly the greatest commandment of all, then everything hangs on this one commandment. In fact, in the New Testament, everything does hang on those two commandments, really the one, which is to love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. If you love me, obey my commandments. What is the greatest commandment of all? To love God. And so everything is hanging on that. Everything that we're going to be judged will be depending on that, not on things that we did for God, but did we love God? And when we love God, we will also love those who we see. Somebody say amen. Amen. We cannot say we love God who we don't see if we don't love those who we do see. And I'm not talking about just the people close to you. I'm talking about we should have a love for people. Just like God so loved, agaped the world that he gave. So do I truly love God? Do you truly love God today? Can you say that, and I don't want to hear any amens to this one, just think about it. Do you truly love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength? Do you love God that much? Listen. To love God with all of your being is what it means. Everything that you are, to love God means if I am truly loving God with all my heart, it means that God will have priority in everything. I won't put people, I won't put family, I won't put self before God because I love God with all my heart. So my question again is, do you really love God with all your heart? How many know that God first loved us? And it's impossible for us to love God if we're separated by sin. See, a lot of folks, they can do legal things. They can obey rules. And they can be good, upright citizens. And they can even obey the Ten Commandments. They can do a lot of good things and obey a lot of the rules that they see in the Bible. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they love God. Because legalism, the definition for that is loveless devotion. So there are people, you know, who have a devotion to God, but it's not based in love. It's based upon performance. It's based upon their ability to live holy or righteous. And then when they achieve a certain level of this self-righteousness, they begin to compare themselves to others. Why? Because the foundation is self and not Christ. If we will all compare ourselves to His holiness, we will say, woe is me. And Isaiah saw God, He was wiped out. He was undone. Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord. So when we say we love God, it means that He is our all in all, that He is number one, He is our priority in life, that we are acknowledging Him in all of our ways, and that we're willing to put Him above even our own interests. Now understand, everything that we'll be judged on is hanging on this love, God. Love for God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says this, God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Even when we were dead, even when we were enemies to God, even when we were separated from God, He took the initiative. God first loved us. Jesus was God's love gift to us. Jesus laid down His life willingly for us because He loved us that much and He wanted us to be with Him. So it's not that we were so holy and righteous and we loved God so much that God decided to sacrifice Jesus. It's because we were hopelessly lost without any help. And so God took the initiative and in the person of His Son became a man, dwelt among us, lived a holy, perfect, sinless life, died on that brutal cross, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. God so loved the world that He gave first. Do you understand that we cannot love God as long as there is a sin problem? And you have people who really are not born of the Spirit, who are trying to live a good life, a Christian life even, but they continually fail because they do not have the grace of God to sustain them. None of us are able, in and of ourselves, to overcome this world. It requires the intervention, the ability that only God can provide, and that is His grace, His ability, His power. That's the only way we overcome. Is in Christ, abiding in Him, staying in Him. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if we abide in Him, the wicked one cannot touch us. He can't get through the armor of God's holiness. When we begin to understand that God is passionately in love with us, it results in a passionate pursuit of Him. How many like to be around people who you know really love you? Me. Just one? Okay. I see that hand. Yes. We like to be around people who we know really love us. Amen? That's just the way it is. Why? Because we all need love. And we also want to be in a place where we can return love and give love. And so we have to have, first of all, the revelation of God's love for us. That God actually is passionately in love with us. He was passionate on that cross, folks. He suffered and died for us because he wanted us that much to be with him. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the love of God that puts us on this pursuit of knowing him more. People who you love and you know they love you, you want to get to know more. A good marriage is based upon what? Love. The principle of love. Not just we've got to tolerate each other and get through this because we're stuck. Confidence. See, we've got to be confident in God's love. Because confidence in God's love will give us confidence in approaching him. If we've been sold the bill that somehow you have to perform to a certain level before God will love you, we've been given the wrong formula in man of approaching God. It's not based upon my goodness or my performance. It's based upon his goodness. It's based upon his grace. It's based upon the fact that Jesus has already shed his blood and he's dealt with the sin problem. Actually, the sin problem has already been solved. We just need to understand that. We need to come to a realization that God has already defeated our foe. He's already spoiled principalities and powers. Jesus has overcome, hallelujah, the world. And God's love for us is intense. It's amazing. It's beyond description. But his love is available if we will receive his love. You cannot achieve righteousness. Righteousness is received. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest we should. God is inviting us into fellowship. He's calling us to come to him. You're stressed out. You've been struggling. You've been striving under the law of performance. And you keep failing and falling and you feel self-condemned and feel like God hates me because I'm such a rotten person. Jesus said, For you I died. For those sins I died. So you can be free. You come to me. I'll take care of that stuff. Just come to me and I want the love on you and I want you to receive my love. And as a result of that, you can't help but love God. When you are truly forgiven of your sins, you can't help but rejoice in the Lord. You've been a prisoner for years and years and all of a sudden the door swings open and you're free. Come on, you're not going to get out there and yawn. You're going to rejoice, aren't you? Hallelujah. And sometimes, folks, we just forget. And we got to go back to that first place again and rediscover what it was that we had together with Jesus. Get back to that place. Let it be about him. Let it be about his presence. Don't let it be about your performance, because in him, you are covered. In him, your desires are changed. In him, you desire to please him. You desire to obey him, right? In him. In yourself, you could care less. If we're abiding in him, his word is abiding in us, then we will be in a position to even be called a friend of God. Isn't that awesome? See, God didn't just call us to serve. He called us to friendship. He called us to fellowship. He called us to love. This is the gospel message. This is what Jesus was trying to tell people. He says, you've been under the yoke, the heavy yoke of the Pharisees, the religious ones, the religious system, performance. And the more you try to do right and to do good, the more you're failing. And then you're self-condemned and you're weary and you're beat down. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary. Amen. Come to me. But you know, just like it was said earlier, he can't have us unless we're willing to let him have us. You want to hold back on God, then you're going to be basically trying to save yourself and you'll lose yourself. You'll lose your life. There's people I trust even here today that you're actually trying to save yourself. You're holding out reservations with God. You're giving God a little piece of you, but you haven't given him the whole offering. And I tell you what, until you're willing to lay your life down, you will not know what it is to have eternal life. Do you understand the way up is down? It's on your face before God. It's a surrendered life. It's yielding to God and say, Lord, I die to myself. I'm going to live for you now. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him totally disown himself. Deny himself, totally disown himself. Take up your cross and follow me. Do we really love God with all of our heart? With all of our mind, with all of our strength? How much do we love God? How many would say, I'm going to be honest today, I want to love God more. I got my hands up. I want to love God more. And the more of me that He has, the more of Him that I have. And God is love. And when you are in His love, you will be an expression of love. Amen? Not because of what I do, but because of what He's doing in and through me. And His love is what the world needs. Not my righteousness, but His righteousness. Not my holiness, but His holiness. And when I'm abiding and dwelling in Him, I have that. I have everything I need in Him. It's not in me anymore. If I love God with all my heart, it means that He is number one. He is my all in all. It means that I would never choose anybody else or anything else above Him because I love Him with all my heart. It doesn't mean that you can't love people. God says to love one another. Amen? But it means that you love everything and everyone else less than you love God. And if you are really discovering and growing in His love, you will find out that He is perfect love and there's no fear or torment in His love. And that you will find yourself loving people. Come on.
Well, I got to love you today. God told me to, so I'm going to love you back.
You know how dumb that is, right? But think about it. You can't command love in this sense. You can't command it. God commanded it. But God commanded it with full understanding that we could not do that independent of Him. So that would draw us to Him into relationship. Into His ability. To no longer trust in my ability to be good, but I trust Him as my goodness. I don't trust in my ability to be righteous, but I trust in His righteousness. Say, my faith is in Him. My trust is in Him and His ability. We got to be confident when we approach God. How many here would be honest? I've had this happen many times. You say, you know, just sometimes you just feel like, I'm such a dirt bag. There's no sense of me even going to God. You know? Because God's probably going to give me the left boot of fellowship, you know? Because I'm so rotten. You ever feel that way? How many know that that's demonic? God would never push you away. God always wants us to come to Him. Amen? For mercy. Amen. For grace. For ability. The enemy is the one that puts you under condemnation so that you will run away from God rather than to Him. There are many people that should be here today. I mean, through the years, I've known a lot of people who they began well, but somehow the enemy got a hold of them and began to torment their minds and tell them how unworthy and how unrighteous and that God doesn't love them anymore because they're so rotten. And he's convinced them that God doesn't love them. So they, instead of coming to God for mercy from a loving Father, they run away. And they go back into the world and some end in destruction. Confidence in God's love produces a confidence in approaching Him. Because God is love, how much I truly know Him will determine how much I truly love Him. Because God is love, how much I truly know Him will determine how much I truly love Him. The more I come to know who He really is, the more that I authentically love Him. Not a legal sense of just obeying and being a good person, no. But as an expression of my heart's desire to please the one I love. Just like you would someone you love in the earth. Get it? The more I come to know Him who is love, the more I will become like Him. and be an expression of He who is love in the earth. When we're in the Spirit, how many are in the Spirit today? I mean, we're just enjoying the presence of the Lord. And how many have discovered that the closer you get to God, the more loving you become? Amen? The more that we want to be together, the more that we want to just, I can't help, I just got to love you, man. I mean, even emotionally sometimes, you just get like blasted with God's love and you just can't help but love everybody. There's an old song, give me that old time religion, you know, it's good enough for me. And it was like, makes you love one another, right? You remember that one? Makes you love everybody. Yeah. Well, God is love. And so, again, folks, we got to enter this from the right perspective. The foundation of everything that we are about is who God is, His person. He is love. And the more that we know Him who is love, the more that we are in love with Him and become His expression of love in the earth. See, it's not about performance. It's not about trying to be good. It's coming to know Him who is good. And when you are knowing Him who is good, you will want to be good. Because you don't hurt the people you love. You don't grieve the people you love. We don't grieve the Spirit because we love the Lord. Amen? And when we do, we feel bad about it and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. Thank God there's forgiveness. Amen? A person can do all kinds of service for God and yet not really love God. Have you ever thought about that? You can do all kinds of service for God and yet not really love God. That's legalism. That's somehow, well, God, I'm scratching your back. You need to scratch my back, you know. We serve God out of love. Out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving, for what He's done for us, Romans 12, we willingly offer our bodies back for His service, but we serve Him out of a heart that is motivated by His love. You understand? By the Spirit, and not by our flesh. See, there's a lot of people, they are serving all over the place. People are, probably this morning, they're serving, they're teaching kids, they're doing stuff, they're doing church activities. But how many of them are really doing it because they have a love for God, or are they doing it because, well, nobody else will do it? You understand, we serve God because we get to, we want to. I can't stand not serving Him because I want to love Him back. That's what we're doing, we're worshiping. In our lives. Our lives are an expression of worship. It's not just songs we sing. It's giving ourselves back to God as an act of love. Loving Him back. Looking for ways. Lord, what can I do for You today? You've done so much for me. Lord, show me what I can do for You today. And you know what Jesus is going to say? It's all summed up in this. Love your neighbor. Love people. Love people. Show them My love. Be an expression of My love to them. And that means that's a broad term, isn't it? I mean, there's so much in that. All that we're doing, all of our service, you know, the only thing that's going to remain, folks, when it's all said and done, is what we've done out of love for Him. Out of a pure heart. Not because we've tried to earn some credit with God, but because of what He's done, we automatically give ourselves to Him. To live for Him. So we can do all kinds of service and yet not really love God. How do I know that? The Bible tells us that. How many remember 1 Corinthians 13? The love chapter. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned even, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You understand? Folks, you can do all this stuff, all these things, all this service. Even those who will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Everything is hinging. Everything is hanging on. Do you really know God? If you know God, you will know love, and you will love God. And out of love for God, you will give yourself back to Him, just like a woman will respond to the love of a man. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. It doesn't say wait for her to love you. You love your wives. Because ladies, isn't it true? When he's really loving on you, you know it. And you want to give yourself back to someone who really loves you. How many know we have a privilege to approach God? It's a privilege. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to just mention this one more time today because it's so important. Sometimes, folks, the problem is that there's a sin issue in our lives. The reason why you're not receiving, the reason why you're not having the blessing and the favor of God in your life is because of this sin problem that's not being resolved, it's not being dealt with. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. That's why we're commanded to repent of our sins and place our trust in the blood of Jesus. Because when you then receive the mercy and the grace of God, you will automatically love him back. We're almost through. Look with me, if you will, Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with them. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Verse 39, now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. There's legalism. There's loveless devotion right there, folks. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. He said, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. He says, you gave me no kiss, but this woman, which was customary in that day, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. How many know that this woman was a prostitute? She was known in the city as a sinful woman. Here we have a man in his own righteousness comparing himself to this woman, not understanding the mercy and the grace that is being lavished upon this woman. This woman had already received of the grace of God, and we know that because it wasn't her service to Jesus that saved her. She was worshiping Jesus because she was saved. She was worshiping and loving and serving Jesus because she had received his forgiveness already. So the result of forgiveness, true forgiveness of sins, is a heart that loves God back and wants to serve him, wants to worship him, wants to honor him, wants to glorify him because of the gratitude in my heart for what God has done for me. When you are truly forgiven of your sins, you will love God. Somebody say amen. That's what's being taught here. Because loving God back is the result of receiving his love. But then he said, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Basically, Jesus says, Simon, you're not even aware of your own sinfulness. He was comparing himself with others. Do you understand? We've been talking a little bit on Wednesday about the churches. Talked about the church of Ephesus. I'm probably going to get into the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. But you know, when Jesus addressed these churches, folks, And they were churches. They were saints of God. They were His people. But He was addressing people who were unaware of their true condition. People who are lukewarm are unaware of their true condition until the revelation of Jesus comes and touches them in their spirit and begins to reveal to them that you're somewhere in neutral zone, somewhere in the middle, and it's distasteful. God says, I'm going to spit you out. Who is He talking to? A church. What about the church of Ephesus? They were a church that was doing all the right stuff. They were very busy. They had all the programs going on. Outwardly, they seemed to be a church that was alive and vibrant and well known probably in the community. But yet all of a sudden Jesus shows up and He says, guys, you're doing all these good things for me. However, there's a problem. I have this against you. You've left your first love. In other words, they had lost or left that place of loving God, serving God out of love, to a place where now they were just doing it in a loveless devotion to some program, or because we've been doing it for so many years, it's on autopilot now. You understand? God is crying out to our hearts today to respond to His love, seek His face, to draw near to Him, to come into His presence and let Him wash away all the filth, all the sin. Let Him break off all the complacency off of our lives and reignite that flame, that fire, that passion in us that says, God, I love You more than my life. I love You more than anything. I love You more than anybody. What can I do for You? How can I serve You, Lord? Because I'm not doing this to earn anything. I'm doing it out of gratitude to You. And God warned them. He says, listen, guys. If you don't repent, I'm going to come and I'm going to remove your candlestick. I'm going to remove your light. The glory is going to depart. We are individuals that make up a body. Every one of us are personally responsible to be keepers of the flame. To keep ourselves in Him, immersed in Him, in the oil of His presence. Amen? That flame in us is burning bright and clear. And then when we do it individually and we come together, we are a bright light together. And we are a witness to this community. Amen? And wherever we go, we bear that light. God's saying, come back. Come back to that place. Rediscover what it was that we had together in the beginning. Rediscover the love that I have for you. I want you to be baptized in my love. And when we know love, we will love Him. We will love Him. You can't know God who is love and not love Him. Under the law, all they could do was obey the commandments. But in the Spirit now, in the New Testament, we can know Him and we can live truly a life of love. Amen. Not just so people can see us and say, well, aren't you something? But we do it as unto God. Amen. And that means sometimes you're not going to be visible. Sometimes it's going to mean you crying out in your prayer closet for somebody else. But God sees secretly, doesn't He? Because you love God, you want to cooperate and you want to come into unity. You sense God's heart for somebody else and you want to lift them up before the throne of God. You understand, everything that we do hinges on this. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, your soul. Love Him with all your being and love one another. I want you to take a moment to bow your heads, would you please, and just ask the Lord today, God, where am I? Maybe you're here today and the Lord has already been speaking to you. You know that your heart has been far away from God. But God's calling you back. Maybe you're here today and you can say, you know what? I've never really, honestly received God's forgiveness. I've never known what it is to have a first love. If you're here today and that's you, I want you to respond to the Spirit of God right now because He's calling you. He's calling you to receive His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness. That means that God is willing to cancel all the sins, cancel all the assignments of the enemy. He's willing to wash away all that filth, all that junk of your past. And God wants to give you a brand new beginning. You can be born again. But you've got to give up your life. You've got to be willing to humble yourselves before Almighty God and allow Him to do that work in you. Holy Spirit, thank You for the work that You do in hearts today. Have Your way with me. God, I acknowledge that I need You. I need You more than yesterday. I need You more than words can say. God, I need You. Lord, I want to love You more. Maybe you're here today and you say, I just want to love God more. Pour out your heart to your Father. Your Father calls you. He invites you. Cry out to your Heavenly Father right now. Just cry out to Him. God, forgive me for my lukewarmness. God, restore me. Lord, bring me back to that place where I once walked with You. Bring me back to that first love. Lord, I really want to be on fire for You. I want to love You more than anything. I don't want this world. I want You, Jesus. I surrender. Just give it up. God, I give You my body. I give You my soul. I give You my spirit. I surrender to You today. Hallelujah. Jesus, we bow before You this morning. You are Lord. And You are coming. You are coming in clouds of glory. You are coming to judge the quick and the dead. We all have our day in court. We know that we all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things that were done in our body. And today, Lord, we want to resolve to get all these things in order right now, God. We don't want to wait until that day, but today we want to get our hearts right with You. If you're here and you know God is tugging on your heart, He's calling, you've got your day in court, I've got my day, get it right with God right now. Cry out to Him, pour out your heart before Him, let Him save you. Only He can save you. And I don't want you to get up from that altar until you know that your sins are forgiven and that you know that your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, reignite the flame within us. Lord, I pray, send revival, send the fire, Holy God. Pour out Your Spirit right now, God, on all of us. Hallelujah. And the rest of us, let's just begin to pray out loud right now and cry out to God and call in the glory, the presence of the Lord, hallelujah, into your own heart, into your own life, hallelujah, into your own family. Jesus, we love You. We praise You, Lord. I want to love You more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing You, Lord. The greatest thing in all my life is loving You. The greatest thing in all my life is serving You. You are the greatest. Jesus, You are the center of it all. You are the center of my joy. You are the heart of my contentment. Lord, You're the one who completes me. You are my way, my truth, and my life. I receive You, God. Receive me today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise You, God. Praise You, God.